going to do you any good, and you can have the vice versa, and you can really get out and do really good with it. So, I mean, ideally, we try to put as much thought into our system as possible, and, you know, for my HF, I've got a huge Antron or Ameritron AL80B that goes to my Icon radio, but I hardly ever run it. I find that the 100 watts does really good with my two antenna options. And so I find that I'm in a good spot with it. Every once in a while, if I'm trying to get out somewhere, and then I'll hook the amplifier up. But I don't know. I don't find that I use it very often. And it's too complicated to just quickly jump into it for as infrequently as I use it. And so, you know, I mean, it sounds kind of weird to say, but I like to do things that are pretty intuitive and quick. So, I mean, because you bounce around and look at a few different frequencies and trying to adjust one of those things every time you do that, to me, is a little bit foreign. So, I don't know. It's the way it is for me, but I still use it every once in a while.
Well, the way I look at it is if I can't hear you, there's no point you hearing me. And so the 100 watts for me seems to be the magic number on that. I get great signal reports, and over the last couple of weeks of Russia, Bulgaria, Austria, Spain, plus the usual suspects, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, but lately into Europe's been really well, which I haven't previously experienced as well as I'm doing now. And it's that wire, it's just a plain old 40-meter, well, you know, it's a multiband, but it's a 40-meter NFED half-wave, counterbalance on it, CMC filter. It does give me, I do have a bit of noise. I'm fighting that sometimes, especially when I get quite a bit lower down there on the bands, but I don't think more wattage would do the job, you know, because if I can't hear you, I can't talk to you.
Yeah, definitely when you're talking about noise and stuff like that and the frequency, then your power's not going to help you. Your noise floor is your noise floor. Are you doing the Europe communications on 40 meters, or what frequency are you using?
Yeah, predominantly 20 and 40. The antenna's not designed for 80, although the tuner I can do it. But 80 seems to be contiguous. You know, it's the states and the provinces. 40 is pretty good, but my best luck for Europe especially has been on the 20-meter band. I've done relatively well into Japan on 10 meters, but that seems to have dried up lately.
Sounds like we might have another station out there. Go ahead. Well, nothing heard. This is KK7KEL. Anyways, just pause for a little station identification there. But no, that's cool. I was just taking a breeze through the HF bands, and I've got a pretty significant noise floor tonight, so probably wouldn't hear much of anything if there was. But I've got a 5 on my noise floor right now, so it's definitely noisy out there tonight.
Yeah, just taking a quick look. I got 5 on 20. And 40, 40's bad. I'm almost 9 on 40. Yeah, that's noisy.
Yeah, I'm looking at 9 on 80 meters right now, and I didn't even flip down to 160 yet. But yeah, there's a bit of noise out there for sure tonight.
Yeah, I'm at 9 on 80 as well. Yeah, it's, let's take this up. Let's take this up to, 20. Oh, that's true. Let's tune it up. Yeah, 20 is at 5. And, what are we doing here? 15 meters. 15's not bad. It's at 5. It's usually noisier. So it's, you know, I attribute a lot of that to the wire, too. You know, the end fed as opposed to center fed. And they're, you know, they're kind of notorious for noise.
Yeah, well, even though we've got a pretty good noise floor on 80 meters, there's still some good propagation out there. I've got a couple frequency I was just listening to, and they don't have a huge signal, but they're loud and clear over the noise floor. So, I mean, maybe that's my radio, maybe that's just the signal. But, yeah, they're still out there, so we're doing good there.
Well, and with the noise, you know, again, you don't need a heck of a lot of power, but you do need the audio, and I think that's where I'm doing okay. Is I'm running predominantly Kenwood equipment here, and I use the Kenwood MC60 desk mic, which is amplified. And I got to give it a lot of credit because if I'm just using the hand mic, it doesn't kick like the desk mic does.
Well, there you go. I mean, plus you gotta admit. I mean, I'll admit those Kenwood radios just—they do a nice job. They sound good. They seem to work really, really well. I've never had one, but I've definitely eyeballed a few in my time, and I've been like, oh, I'd like to have that radio. But you know, I've got a pretty nice setup here in my shack. So, I mean, aside of getting a different 2-meter radio, I'm pretty good in here. My ICOM 7300 does pretty much everything I need it to do. So I don't get into all the digital stuff and mostly voice and scanning around. So, I mean, that's what I like to do.
Well, 7300 is a beautiful radio. There's no question about it. All my stuff is older than that. You know, the radio I'm talking to you right now on the Kenwood 742, I mean, that's a 1990s era multiband radio. And had to do a little bit of work to it over the years. Not much. It's been pretty much a rock solid performer. My primary HF radio is a Kenwood TS50, which is not physically a really big radio. It was more designed for mobile use, but clean, like the receiver on that thing is stunning. I've got an old TS430, which is a more traditional HF radio, and the receiver on this TS50 is far superior, and they both put out 100 watts, although I could get probably double that out of the TS430, because that thing's a tank, but 100 seems to be the magic number to do what I need to do.
Yeah, sounds like we're pretty much on the same course there. I mean, I started out, I had a ICOM 735, and I actually have a couple of them in a stack with all the accessories that go along with them, and they were okay, but they ended up starting to drift off frequency really bad, and I did a recap on the one of them, and just never quite got it back. I went through all the principles to align it back to where it should be, and just was never successful getting it the way I wanted it, so I kind of went to the wayside. I still have it. Maybe one day I'll get back to it. But I came upon that 7300 years ago, and I just couldn't help it. And so I put that in the stack, and it's been a solid go-to ever since. So, yeah, like I said, the only one I really want to trade out is this Yaesu radio for the mobile unit and get that put in my truck. But we'll see one of these days. Maybe, maybe not. It seems to be working great where it's at, so I'm good with it.
Well, lately I've been getting into all mode on VHF and UHF because I never had that capability before. So I started searching around, and I found this old dinosaur. I got a really good deal on it. It's Kenwood. Oh, there's the daughter. She's home. She's watching the monitor, the video camera. I was saying this old Kenwood TS790A, an old satellite radio, all mode, and sent it into a shop and got it all tweaked up and tuned up for me, and man, it's a beautiful radio. It's old, it's big, but it is, it's got good bones, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and no, and it'll run forever, too. That's the beauty of it. You know, the size of it doesn't really, I mean, it makes it serviceable, in my opinion. You look at, like, these 7300s or my little Yaesu 7800, and it's all surface mount, you know, electronics, and that's really hard to work on, you know. It's really, really hard to do. I've done it. I've made repairs when needed, but it is a real challenge to work on those things. And then you get into some of these older radios, and it's, you know, standard capacitors and, you know, stuff that you can actually manipulate and handle, and, you know, it's a little more tangible and stuff that you can actually work on. So I'm down with that. I think that's a great thing, and that makes it more enjoyable for me if I know I can actually get in there and, you know, conceive doing a repair on the thing actually at the same time. So that's good.
Yeah, well, the all-mode VHF, UHF I got, like I said, I sent it in the shop to give it a once-over, and I got it home, and it's working brilliantly, but the one thing I did do is I opened it up, and I swapped out the bulbs, which half of them were burnt out, for LEDs, and I tell you, man, what a change. Like, it's just a gorgeous radio now with the way it lights up with the LEDs.
Yeah, those LED mods are great. I actually had a friend of mine bring over a Marantz stereo, and he said it wasn't working for out of one channel, so I took it apart and got it into it a little bit. Did a little bit of work to it, and then one of the things was, you know, replacing all the bulbs in the display and everything, and I ended up just going back to the standard, you know, the standard bulbs it came with. I ordered some, and they looked really nice and just kind of traditional, but I was really tempted to go with, like, a little more of a blue LED to go in it with that silver face would have looked really, really awesome, but we just ended up keeping it original, so I don't know. It all depends on what the user wants, but I definitely like the LED mods. Those are nice.
Well, when I sent the TS-50 into the shop to get the capacitor mod done on it, you know, because they leak, and it was flaking out on me. So I sent it in, got for that job, and, you know, my hand's not as steady as it used to be, so I'm not going to try and solder that stuff. It's too fine. But I had the LED mod done to it as well, and I wasn't sure if I was going to be happy with it or not, because, you know, I'm used to the orange-amber background on an LCD, and it came back, and it's got that very light blue background. And it's a lot easier on the eyes. I like the look. So, you know, as I work through the radios, I'll be going to that route. I think it looks great. I have a TS-60, which is a twin to the TS-50, but for 6 meters. And it needs a capacitor work done on it. So I'll be sending it down to the same shop, and I'll get the LED modification done on it as well so they match. And... you know, now that I've been using them, I want to get it all done, all my radios. I want to get them done.
Oh, there you go. Now, you mentioned 6 meters. What's your experience with that? Because I don't have a good suitable antenna for it now, but my ICOM does do 6 meters. And I've always been intrigued. I hear people talking about it from time to time, and I've never really kind of delved into the whole 6 meter realm. But what's your experience with that?
Well, let me give you a little background for me personally, tell you a little bit of the story. So back in the early 90s, you know, when I got my first ticket, and it's a little different in Canada than the States as far as what your privileges are. So my first ticket was called a basic license, and I could do pretty much anything I wanted in VHF and up. And in Canada, 6 meters is considered VHF. And, but there wasn't much sideband or anything like that, you know, in VHF, in 2 meters and above. And I wanted to try out kind of an HF feel. So I bought the 6 meter radio and all mode and put up a 6 meter vertical. And I just happened to hit the band, you know, the solar activity and everything that was 6 meters was up and running. And it was, they call it the magic band, and it is, when it's working, it is magic. You know, there's also the other side of it, that there's FM on there, there are repeaters, and, you know, there used to be one, a strong one down near Bellingham, six-meter repeater, and I think it's gone now. It can be a lot of fun, and you can get some really good propagation on 6 meters, but it is finicky. You know, it earned its name the Magic Band for a reason.